question is always asked about this chapter, if the disciples actually should have been fishing or not, if they were somehow disobedient to the Lord. I've never really seen it that way, particularly. The Lord said to them to go before me into Galilee. And so they were obedient. They went ahead into Galilee. The Lord was there waiting for them. But they needed breakfast. You know, first century Galilee, there was no Costco's, right? If you wanted breakfast, you had to go to the lake. I remember when I used to work with federal government some 30, 40 years ago, my supervisor was from an Indian tribe, a First Nations tribe, a Nova Scotia Mi'kmaq tribe, and he was my supervisor. And one day I came down into the cafeteria and I smelled a good, what's that, Dave? And he said, oh, I got a deer. I'm making deer stew. It was out of season, but the tribe in Nova Scotia, they can hunt all year. They don't need a license. I said, well, that's nice. And it was really good too. But he said, you know, Brian, when I was a kid, my dad would take me outside and he'd say, Dave, you see those tracks in the snow? And he'd say, yes, Dad. He said, at the end of those tracks is breakfast. And so the disciples were looking for food while they're waiting to know, Lord, what shall we do? What now? And some loose ends needed to be tied. Peter's public restoration, a new commission given. And this chapter sort of bookends with Luke chapter 5, doesn't it? Where they were fishing all night and caught nothing. And there Simon Peter learned a valuable lesson, that the one that he was dealing with was not just Messiah for Israel, but the divine Son of God who had control over creation. And he said, depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, O Lord. And the Lord tells Peter on that occasion, Peter, leave your nets now and come follow me. I'll make you fishers of men. The net broke on that occasion. Of course, Brother John mentioned this. We want to look at this dispensationally. We see that it's a millennial scene in a typical sort of way. The net doesn't break. It's a future day coming. A great ingathering is coming. But there were personal lessons for them at that time as well, as it is for us too. And so Simon Peter, he had, as a natural leader, he was a natural leader. The Lord had gifted them in that way, sort of an A-type personality, which can be good and can be bad, right? With A-type personalities who have no filter, right? And sometimes Peter would have foot and mouth disease, you know? Speak before you think. And sometimes he spoke, it was good. And sometimes when he spoke, it was not so good. But often with Simon Peter, he usually was verbalizing or articulating what the disciples already themselves were thinking, right? He was just the mouth as that natural leader. And so we see him in this chapter. He says, I go fishing. Okay, we're going with you. It's time for breakfast. But there's another practical lesson in here too, is that connection between Simon Peter and the Apostle John. It's a lovely connection between the two. And again, we can sort of look at that in a dispensational way, you know, the ministries of John and Peter, or Peter and John, and how Paul's sort of comes in between the two. But just in a practical way, how the Lord has linked these two together, right, from the very beginning. And it's interesting that when John wrote this, Peter was probably already in heaven. He wrote his second epistle. He said, it's now time I must put off this tent. And Paul probably too, already in heaven. John wrote his writings very late in the 90s. And he's looking back at this event, his friend Peter, and how the Lord had brought them together. And you know, brothers and sisters, often, not always, but often, especially in the Lord's work, the Lord will bring two together as sort of yoke fellows. And often they're totally different in personality. I know the Lord saved me in 1973. Then my friend and brother-in-law, Steve, was saved a few months later. And we're as different as day and night. But the Lord somehow brought us together. And you'll often see this in an assembly where there's two brothers that somehow are linked together in the Lord. And they're totally different. And that's a wonderful thing to see, is that the Lord does not save clones, right? The Lord is not into clones. We're all different. You are not me and I'm not you. You can be thankful you're not me. We're all different. We all have our personality that the Lord has given us by nature. But with the Lord's working in our life, sometimes he'll bring two together. Not always, but sometimes in the Lord's work. And we see this with Peter and John. And of course, in this chapter, we get the wonderful restoration to public ministry. But in a sense, it was all their restoration. The Lord was speaking to Simon, but in a sense, he was speaking to them all. And that's always how it is with the Lord.